A few might even be called, there goes the Friday night poker game. But God went on to say this. Went on to say, I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. Talked about that last week, how God continues to bless the Arabic nations through his promise to Ishmael. Abraham was concerned about Ishmael. Isaac wasn't even conceived yet. He was just an idea. But Ishmael was Abraham's teenage son. One of the things I love about the story of Abraham is how God's compassion is revealed. God had a purpose he wanted to fulfill through the line of Abraham and Isaac, but he didn't reject Ishmael. Instead, God wrote him into the story as well. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I was an accident. My parents didn't have to, you know, they didn't plan to have me. There are no accidents in God's kingdom. You know, from the beginning of time, he knew the day of your arrival and his preferred future for your life. I know piles of people who don't know who their birth parents are. But there are no orphans in God's kingdom. He's the father of the fatherless. And he's already prepared a place for each of us in his story. But there's something implied in the next verse of this chapter, verse 21, that I really want you to see. Here's what it says. Again, this is God speaking to Abraham. He says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. It's that word but that catches my attention. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. God loves people. God loves them so much that he came to this earth and surrendered himself to a human death in order to make a way for everyone to have a restored relationship with him. He's pleased to write every person on this earth into his story. But there's a single solitary line that runs through humanity. It's the line of God's purpose. In Abraham's day, that line flowed through his son, Isaac. For 2,000 years, that line passed undiluted through the nations until it reached a single child born to Joseph and Mary in a little backwater town called Bethlehem. And if you read both Matthew and Luke's account of the gospel, Abraham and Isaac are in the lineage of Jesus Christ. One account traces his father's line, one Joseph's, and one Mary's line, but Abraham and Isaac are in both. But the line didn't stop there. With the birth of Jesus Christ, it burst beyond its biological confines and it became a spiritual line. And for another 2,000 years, that line has passed through humanity, carrying with it the promise of a relationship with the living God. That's the line we need to grab hold of. Because every person who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior can count themselves among the many. Abraham was renamed the father of many. We are the many. We are the children of the covenant of God. Isaac's at one end of the line, and way down at the other end is us. Let me read the last part of this chapter to you. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that very day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. You know, the moment Abraham understood the covenant God wanted to make with him, he made sure he got in line with its requirements. There was no hesitation with him. God wanted to seal the covenant with a sign. Abraham immediately complied. You know, when it comes to our current covenant with God, I think there's some transferable principles in that scripture. One thing I do know, it's a lot easier to get baptized than it is to get circumcised. You've got to love progress. But the real big idea in this whole chapter is this thing about name change. Everyone has a name they're known by. We talk about people making a good name for themselves. We talk about people having a bad name, you know. We'll say that guy's made a bad name for himself. But Scripture tells us that someday we're going to receive a new name, one that's only known to God and to us. I wonder if we have any control over what that name is going to be. I think if our name is going to be connected to our identity, maybe we do. Going through life in relationship with God is not really a normal experience. In reality, it's pretty supernatural. Prayer is a supernatural thing. It's not the part about us talking to God. It's when he talks back and we hear him. That's pretty supernatural. You know, and that's why we're going to hold this College of Prayer seminar in September, Hearing the Voice of God. We're going to learn how to be supernatural Christians. We're going to take it up a notch. We're going to learn to hear God's voice. But some people still think that being in relationship with God is kind of a long-distance thing. You know, God's way up there. We're way down here. We're always trying to figure out how to connect with him. You know, other people think they've got God in their back pocket. You know, he's there running every single detail of their lives, everything they do and say, you know, must be God's will because it happened. I think being in relationship with God is kind of like windsurfing. Now, you might think that's an odd sort of a metaphor, but, you know, you can climb on the board, you can set the sails, but we can't make the wind blow. God is like the wind. You know, we're never quite sure where he's going to push us, but when the wind is up, it's a great ride. We can control the speed, I think, to a certain degree. We can control the direction within limits. But we need the breath of God in order to go anywhere. We can't make the wind blow, but we can become better windsurfers. You know, a relationship with God is opposed to earning, not to effort. Can we influence the name that God is going to give us when we arrive in eternity? It's possible. Raises an interesting question, though. What name do you think God has prepared for you? What name defines your identity with him? You know, we all see ourselves in a certain way, and our lenses can be a bit distorted at times. But a question worth contemplating is, how does God see you? What name does he know you by? What name do you want him to know you by? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again so much for your word. Thank you for getting me past the mayhem of slides and so that your word can be seen, Lord. Praise you for that. Thank you for Dave, what he did to kind of bail me out here. But Lord, this is about our relationship with you, Lord. What have you got for us? Where are you at with us? We know you receive us and see us and love us for who we are. But you love us to change us. You love us so much you're not going to leave us in a mess. So, Father, I just pray that you would give us the hearts, give us the courage, give us your work in our lives by your Holy Spirit so that we could have a new identity in you. And that we would have a new name and it would be a blessing to both us and you, Lord. I say it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I just invite you to stand if you wish, and we'll sing some songs of response. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Be it for me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. It is.
Father, it's kind of an incredible idea that you want friendship with us, that you call us, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you're the wind on our sails. Lord, that you would want to interact with us in such a way that you want covenant with us, and that you know each one of us, that you have a new name for us. Would you show us again and again what that means? And help us to come to you again and again with open hands so that you may guide us and lead us into deeper understanding of you. We don't want it to ever be that we just stopped growing, that we left our friendship with you because we were done, but rather that at the end of the day, when we are getting our new name, it will show how much we have sought you out for all of our life. Father, we thank you that part of our worship, too, is to give you our tithes and our offerings. We're so incredibly blessed, and we want to give them back to you as part of hearts that just want to let go and let you have it. For you to use this money however you would choose. In your name, amen.
Forgiven.
God, my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. Oh, I've been washed by the blood.
Just be seated for a moment. We always want to make sure that nobody comes in with a need and goes home with it. So if you need any prayer.